Oh, what a day. Everybody enjoying their Monday afternoon. It's almost like you forgot the Jets exist and the Giants exist. Because late last night, or maybe relatively early last night, depending on your perspective, at about 10 p.m., we all got the news that Juan Soto was leaving the New York Yankees and signing a massive 15-year contract to join the New York Mets.
Can't even believe it.
I can't believe it either, John. I feel the exact same way. We've talked to you throughout the day. We've all given our opinions. But let's hear from the great Joe Beningo. And his Football Monday call-in, with a little bit of football, but mostly something else, is brought to you by Empire City Casino. Winners play here by Approved Oil. Lock in your low oil rate at freezetherate.com, and by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. Bro, how you doing?
Well, I tell you, the latest disastrous jet loss, which they are, you know, I mean, before we get to Soto, I have never seen this as bad as they are. I cannot remember any jet season where they have lost as many brutal games as they have this year, but be that as it may, didn't know about it last night. Woke up this morning, put on Sports Night on SNY, and got the news. Tremendous. I thought he was going to sign with the Yankees. I thought he was going to stay with the Yankees. I didn't think Hal Steinbrenner could allow it to happen. But God bless Uncle Stevie, and he got it done. And, tremendous. What else can you say? You got to be thrilled if you're a Met fan. Thrilled.
15 years, $765 million. Do you now believe that David Stearns isn't a small market general manager and is willing to spend?
I wasn't happy about signing Frankie Montas, I'll say that.
I understand.
Signing Frankie Montas is, again, Stearns trying to show you how smart he is, but whatever. But look, I don't know what Stearns thought about this. This is on Uncle Stevie. He went out there and he made the play that he absolutely had to play, make, you know. And I'll tell you right now, and I've heard a lot of Yankee fans say a lot of different things. You know, I don't know if Uncle Stevie, obviously it's all about the money, but also Juan Soto has a chance to be something he could never be as a member of the New York Yankees. And that is the greatest Met of all time.
I don't think there's any doubt. And I don't know what that means to him, but I will say this, from a position player standpoint, because put Seaver on a different mountain.
Right,
he's one of the great pitchers of all time.
Of course.
From a position player standpoint, Beltran, Piazza, Darryl, David. Now, Juan's got to do it for us.
Right.
But Juan Soto is better than all of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. There's no question about it. But he's 26 years old. He's already won a championship. Right now, to me, he's the third best player in baseball behind Ohtani and Judge.
That's fair.
I would say that.
That's fair, yeah.
Right? I would put him as number three. He's a tremendous player. The on-base percentage. I mean, you put him in that lineup, I'm pumped. Now, I want Pete back. They got to get Pete back now.
Yes.
There's no reason not to sign Pete. I don't know what the market's going to be for him, but if we're going to win championships with Soto, I want Pete to be part of it. I can tell you that right now.
Joe.
But I am thrilled. I mean, because I didn't think it was going to happen, and I can't say enough about Uncle Stevie.
Now, you mentioned the championships. How soon until you get antsy for it? Because Evan and I briefly talked, at least I said this, the Dodgers are still in your way, which sucks, but whatever.
You know what?
How soon till you start getting the answer?
Now. I mean, why not? I mean, let's go. Look, we got more moves to make. They got to fix the pitching staff. I mean, we lost Severino to Oakland, and they weren't going to give him that kind of money that he got there, Sacramento, wherever they're playing, who knows. But, you know, they got to bring Manaea back. I like the Clay Holmes signing. I like Clay Holmes as a setup man to Diaz, not as a starting pitcher. Now, I don't know. You know, maybe they could make him into Seth Lugo. I don't know about that. But they got to straighten out the pitching. There's no question about that. I want Pete back. And let's see. Let's see where we go from there. But having Soto in the lineup, I mean, you can't say enough. Guys, tremendous.
Where would you put, because I remember the excitement I certainly had when they signed Beltran and Pedro during that offseason.
Right.
Obviously the shocking trade of Piazza and then holding on to him. Where would you put the magnitude of this move in this moment with Keith Hernandez, obviously, the trade for him before my time, but I certainly know, we all know the impact it had and how you felt. Gary Carter.
Yep.
When you think about all those moves in this moment, obviously we got to see the results. where do you kind of put this Soto move in terms of anticipation?
Well, I mean, look, it's similar in you know, you look now, not with Hernandez, because Hernandez came to just a mess of a baseball team. And as we all know, he was calling them the Stems. And,
right.
You know, his father basically convinced him to sign with the Mets. He said, look, they got a big-time farm system. You probably want to stay here. But, you know, they were already a good team when they got Carter, you know, and that kind of, you know, he kind of was, the final piece in the puzzle with all of it. But, look, this guy's the best. He will probably turn out to be the best position player they've ever had. And I don't think there's any question about it. Now, they got to win. You know, Hernandez won. Carter won, you know. And Piazza didn't win, but he did get to a World Series.
Yeah.
They got to win. I mean, there's no other way to say. They got to get me at least one, you know.
That's all we're asking.
All right, so, Joe, I think everybody understands the impact that signing right. Juan Soto does. We
right.
do not understand the impact that Juan Soto has as a member of the Mets because he hasn't played yet.
Right, that's
but
correct.
As the, I don't know, uber fan of Jets and Mets,
right.
And particularly right now the Mets, how should right. the Met fan be treating the Yankee fan?
I have no animosity toward the Yankees at all, to be very honest with you. I mean, finally, we have a chance now. Look, the Yankees have owned this town for a long time. You know, outside of the 80s, you know, the Mets owned the 80s, I'll say that. Since then, this has been certainly Yankee country. You know, ever since Joe Torre came along and the Yankees started, you know, having dynasties again in the late 90s. It's been a Yankee town. There's been no question about that. The Mets, at least at this point now, put themselves, in my mind, I'm not going to say they're beyond the Yankees at this point because we got to go out and win and all that, but we, I think, at least have put ourselves on equal footing with the Yankees at this point in time. That's how I feel.
Yeah. I think they've now entered the, we're a big market team, and when
right.
we identify
finally.
A free agent
finally.
We want, we're going to go get them, yeah.
Right. Finally.
I keep thinking about, and this is what I thought about last night when I got the news. It's been 20-plus years. I'm still pissed off about A-Rod. I'm still annoyed that you had this generational talent
right.
who wanted,
to be here. Right.
And the ownership
right.
at the time gave up the whole 24-1 crap. And this is the A-Rod
the
of our generation.
Maybe he wanted billboards. Yes. Maybe he wanted his own suite. God
right.
forbid we give him that.
And guess what? The Mets gave Juan Soto his own
right.
suite, by the way. It's in the contract.
Right.
Good for
Pretty
him.
Much.
I feel like this has righted the wrong almost of
right.
all the mistakes that the Wilpons have made when they had a chance to get A-Rod or Vlad Guerrero
right.
or Bryce
yep.
Harper. And
right.
Like, yeah, too much money.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. This is, it's a new day. You know, it's a new day with if you're a fan of the New York Mets. You know, I'm so pumped. I'm going to tell you this. I am so pumped about Soto. You know me. I got a ton of Jet jerseys. I never get a Jet jersey until a guy does something for my team.
Mm.
I don't buy Met jerseys, but I buy the Met jersey T-shirts.
I
got a lot of them, okay? I will probably get the Juan Soto Met jersey T-shirt before he even plays a game.
Wow!
Met jersey T-shirt? Why not just go for the full Met jersey?
No,
I'm
not a baseball jersey guy.
But this is Soto.
No, I understand.
This is 15 years, man.
No. Look, I mean, there'd be other guys. I'd have to get my guy. That won for me before. You know, I'd have to get Seaver. I'd have to get Keith. I'd have to get Darryl. I'd have to get Doc. Soto hasn't won for me yet. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but I'm still surprised you would even get the shirt because usually we've always talked about
right,
this.
Right, I wait.
You wait. What is
That's
making
how confident I am.
You're confident that he's going to be great, or is it
yeah,
the. You know what it is,
no
Joe?
Question.
I don't think you're admitting this because you know it's going to. The Yankee fan's going to see it. It gets to him a little bit. You got to enjoy that a little bit.
I'm really not thinking at all about what the Yankee fan is thinking at this point in time.
Right. Right. So you're not trying to troll the Yankee fan.
No.
Because there's so many. Tommy Lugauer is trying to troll the Yankee
fan.
Nah,
you know what? Look, I mean, I'm not trying. Look, the Yankees are what they are. They've won 27 championships. They went to the World Series last year. I respect the greatness of the franchise. I mean, it's the greatest franchise in the history of professional sports. I mean, you know, you have to admit that. You know, I'm just happy we got him. If you're a Yankee fan, I'd be deliriously ticked off at Hal Steinbrenner. How did you allow this to happen? I mean, I could only imagine George is rolling over.
So I want to ask your opinion about that because I think this is more complicated than I thought it would be because I thought I was going to agree with you. Hal, you can't lose him. So Hal bids higher than I think a lot of us thought. He gets to 760.
760, right, 16 years.
If you know Steve Cohen is not going to be denied, like this will go to $900 million if you go that far. Mm. Don't you think Hal Steinbrenner kind of knew that when he said, all right, we're out? Like, how far can we go with this? Or should he just have kept going until it got to $1 billion? Because I kind of have the feeling that Steve Cohen was going to continue to go until he got the player.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? You know, you would have loved to have seen if this was actually George going up against Cohen.
Right.
That would have been interesting, because I don't know if George would have allowed it to happen. But I've heard, now, I don't know how true this is, but I have heard rumors. Now, and what do I know? I'm not in a locker room. I don't know anything. But that Soto kind of kept his distance a little bit with the Yankees. Hmm. You know what I mean? And the other thing, too, you know, not that he wasn't a good teammate and all, but, you know, maybe he wasn't completely buying into the whole Yankee deal. And let's be honest with this, too. I mean, immediately he's the best Met. I mean, there's no doubt. He was not the best Yankee with Judge there.
Yeah, it really all depends on what you want, because you're right. And I also think the bar here is just a little bit lower. You said something earlier I completely agree with. Just win me one championship.
That's it.
If you
That's
win a World Series.
Give me one.
You win a championship, there's a chance there's going to be a statue built for you in 30 years.
Yeah. Right next to Seaver.
Right next to Seaver.
Yeah,
and I think with the Yankees, and it's a testament to their history, you'll never be the greatest Yankee ever.
Never.
It's impossible.
You'll be lucky if you're number 10.
Right.
Right.
So if that's the kind of thing that matters to you, and maybe it does.
But doesn't that seem like a loser mentality?
What's
right?
that?
I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to be Mickey Mantle. I'm never going to be
Babe Ruth.
But you
know what, though, Tiki, he's never going to be.
I'm never going to try. I don't even want to try.
Well, he could try, but you're never going to. I mean, look, as great as Derek Jeter was, he won 5 championships. He's not, you know, he's not Babe. He's not Lou.
Yeah, but
he's
he also
Joe
wasn't
D.
one of
he's
the
not
great.
Mickey.
He also wasn't a great player. I mean, he was a great leader and a captain for this team, but he wasn't like Juan Soto level. You know what I mean? He wasn't winning MVPs.
No, he wasn't Juan Soto level. I'll agree with you. But, I mean, as a Yankee, he's an all-time great Yankee.
Of course
he's probably
going to
get a monument. He's probably getting a monument.
Of course he deserves it. I mean, he was one of the most iconic players in the history of New York sports. Forget just the Yankees. And mostly because he won. And he did it in a very respectful way.
Yeah.
Right? It's I want my kid to be like when he grows up and he's a Yankee.
He never
be
got
like
in any trouble.
Jeter.
I mean, God, with all the stuff he did as a single guy, God knows you heard all the rumors about, you know, these girls he'd bring up and he'd give me his cell phone.
Allegedly, then, Joe.
Right,
allegedly.
Right, allegedly. And then he'd give them, you know, parting gifts on the way out. You know,
he knew what he was doing.
He sure did.
All right, Juan Soto is a New York Met, which is still very weird to understand and comprehend.
Yep.
Now your focus is Pete, right? They got to bring Pete Alonso
gotta
back.
Absolutely. Look, I want Manaea too. I mean, you got to bring Manaea back. I mean, I don't see why you don't. I mean, you know, you may have to overspend to him, but he got to. No, Pete has to come back. He's a Met. When we win a championship, okay, when Soto leads us to that next world championship, Ev, and you and I are actually at the parade for a team that we actually root for.
Right.
What a concept that would be.
Yeah.
I want Pete Alonso to be part of it.
I completely agree.
Okay, so what's the confidence level that that's happening?
I'm pretty confident about it. You know why I'm confident about it, Tiki? Because I think that the market for him is not what it was.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think that, you know, he didn't have the greatest year. Obviously, the postseason, you know, the biggest hit of the year was the home run in Milwaukee. I mean, let's be honest about it. We looked like we were going to go on our way out, and he saved us, so we'll always remember that. But I think you're going to get him at a better deal than maybe we thought. And I think, to me, that's Manaea. Probably Pete first and then Manaea. Those are the top priorities to me right now.
Yeah, I think that also he's just the best option.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah,
the Mets need a bat to protect Juan Soto. We already know the first three guys in the lineup, it's going to be Lindor, Soto, and Vientos.
Right.
So having who else is going to play first base? I mean, Brett Beatty can't be the third baseman with moving Vientos to first.
No.
Christian Walker's a nice player, but no thanks.
Yeah, he's 34.
Pete Alonso is the best option in free agency, and I don't think it's that close.
Yeah, and I love Darryl. You know, he's my all-time favorite Met. You know, but 252 career home runs is the Met record. You know, it's time for that record to go. I mean, you know, I want to see Pete hit 450 or whatever as a Met. You know what I mean?
No, you're right about that. As far as the Jets are concerned, the play I keep thinking about, and we have not talked about the Jets today, but let's bring it up, is Devontae Adams going out of bounds.
Yeah.
I can't, because if he stays in bounds,
they got no timeout.
There's no timeout. The game's over.
Yeah.
How does a veteran player let that happen?
Yeah. It's just all part of what this season has been. I mean, I don't know how else to say. With that said, I want Devontae Adams back. I mean, you can say whatever you want. I understand that play. But I look at him and Garrett Wilson, and maybe outside of the two guys the Rams have, you tell me who's got a better 1-2 punch at wide receiver.
No, it's rare. No, you're right.
There ain't many. So I want and I'll say this too, and that was a terrible play.
I'll give it Minnesota, Joe. Minnesota.
Okay.
Definitely.
Right.
With Jefferson and Addison. Those two are great. But whatever it is, it's top three or four in the league.
Right.
There's no doubt.
There. No, up there. And look, that was a killer play. The kickoff was a killer play. And obviously, once the game got to overtime and they won the toss, I knew we would never see in the football. I knew it. Because the defense is just terrible. The penalties, unbelievable. You know what the worst penalty of the game was? And it was the defense had a bunch, a couple person. There was one on Kinlaw. There was one roughing the passer on Quinnen Williams, which I thought was very questionable. You had the pass interferences against DJ Reed. Here's the worst penalty of the game to me, okay? We get a 5-yard offside penalty to make it 3rd and 1.
Give it right back.
Right, and Yeboah has a false start. We probably scored a touchdown on that play.
Yes.
On that series. We wound up kicking a field goal.
Yep.
I mean, that was the most egregious penalty of the game. But the one thing I will say, like I said, I've never seen it. All the years I'm following this team since 1965. I mean, look at me. These are scars on my body. I can never remember a year, bro, with more brutal losses.
It's incredible, right?
And this one was worse, Joe, because you played so well, right?
Yeah.
Offensively.
And it was against them.
That adds to the stinky damn fish, right?
Who we've lost 8 straight games to down in Miami.
Yeah, I mean, Evan and I were having this conversation. He did a poll about this earlier. What was worse? The way the Jets lost or the way the Giants lost?
Wow.
And to me, it was the way the Giants lost because they looked inept. Right. It took 13 points off the board. It was just and the Saints aren't good. At least Miami's fighting for something.
And
you had a chance to win, and you had a great play from your quarterback who finally went over 300 yards for the first time
great.
In like 4 years.
You know what, Tutik? I look at this, and the defense needs work. The defense is not any good, but I do think if you get the right coach in there, stop this. You can't be playing this zone defense nonsense. You got to play man-to-man. You got to blitz. They don't blitz. They didn't even lay a finger on Tagovailoa yesterday.
Right.
It was disgraceful. But I look at this offense, okay? You got these two guys on the outside, okay? Look at the running backs we got. Forget even Breece Hall. Look at this kid Davis. Look at the kid Allen.
Brandon Allen, yep.
Look at the offensive line, bro. We got 3 young studs on the offensive line in Fasanu, Tippmann, and Vera Tucker. Hopefully he stays healthy. Even Max Mitchell played well yesterday. So there's talent on this team. This is a team, I know the media wants to blow it up because, you know, the media hates the Jets, and they want to see them win and lose forever. You know, of course. They've been trying to run Rodgers out of town for how long? Oh, we got to bench him. We want Tyrod Taylor to play. Give me a freaking break. You know, trying to run everybody out of town. There's talent on this offense. And you bring the right – and I'm ready to run it back with Rodgers another year. I really am.
Well,
you bring the right coach in here, and let's see what we can do.
Now, speaking of the right coach, this came out late last week, and I have never brought this guy's name up because I just didn't think he would want the job. But Rich Cimini reports Mike Vrabel may have an interest in this job if he has say over the general manager. Would you be open to that?
Yes.
Would he be your first choice at this
He's
point?
He's not my first choice, but I'll take him. I would take him because we need a guy that has experience, has coached in this league. Now, he doesn't have a Jet pedigree, but with that said, I'm open to Vrabel. You know, I want the guys I really want are either Rex, Flores, Vrabel, or Gruden. I got to have somebody. I'm not completely against Glenn, as I said, only because he has a Jet pedigree that nobody else has. That's, you know, of the young coordinator type guys. But I am all for Vrabel. If Vrabel becomes the head coach of the Jets, I'm in.
Do you think the Jets beat the Jaguars next week?
They better. I mean, they should.
they should.
I mean, they should, but who knows? I mean, who knows if they're going to. I mean, who's playing? Mac Jones?
Yeah, Mac
Jones.
Here's
the good news. They won this week. Did you do that game, T?
Yeah, we called it. It was the lowest scoring game in football this year.
And it, was that right? 10-6? That was the lowest scoring game of the year?
And Joe, it felt like it.
Yeah, no, I felt. You know what's funny? I'm watching the game yesterday. And, you know, between breaks, I'm going to the red zone all the time, right? So I popped the red zone on and showing the Tennessee game, and I see you guys are doing it. I'm saying to myself, well, poor Tiki. Did they give you a dud? You know what I'm saying?
And you know what Tiki's got this Sunday?
No, I can't imagine. The Jets.
Ravens, Giants.
Well, I mean, at least you got a real team in the Ravens.
Are good. The Ravens are, and by the way, they're fighting for something. It's not like they're running away with the division. They're actually two games back.
Yeah. By the way, their kickers killed them this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This guy's a Hall of Fame kicker.
I know.
Right. And we've killed Zerline, and rightfully so. This guy, I mean, the kicking in the NFL this year has not been good.
No, kickers, and by the way, it's guys that you used to rely upon.
Right. Well, Justin Tucker's the definition of it.
Right.
Justin 100%. Tucker and kickers in general, they are relievers in Major League Baseball.
There's no doubt about
From
it.
From year to year, you have no freaking idea.
You know, and let me say this, too, and I've said this before, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, Teak. I don't know how you feel about this, but... And maybe it's because my team has been so bad this year and, you know, tears my heart out every week. I got to tell you, with the college football playoff, the college football has been better than the NFL this year. I look at the NFL. I really believe that. I look at the NFL and I see probably four teams, maybe five, that can win the Super Bowl. That's
right.
It. Kansas City, Buffalo, Detroit, and the Eagles.
Yep.
Maybe Pittsburgh. I even though they're 11-2, and God bless Sam Darnold, I still don't buy Minnesota. You know, I can't buy them yet. Those are the teams. I don't buy the Ravens because I just think Lamar in a big spot. You know, you defense him right and you keep him in the pocket. You're going to beat him. And their defense hasn't been great, and now the kicker's been a disaster. So to me, I think there's probably five teams that could win the Super Bowl. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, you're probably right, unless injuries start getting in the way. And even Kansas City. Evan and I were just talking about this before the show.
I mean, unbelievable.
They feel like they're ripe to be knocked off because they don't play great.
Every week.
It's the same thing. And they've had three different kickers kick game-winning field goals. So they're compromised physically. Kelsey looks like a shell of who he is.
Yep.
But we know what's going to happen.
Well,
Taylor
Swift is soft in him off.
Whatever.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, right, Joe. But we're going to get into like week 18. They're going to all of a sudden look amazing. They're going to have home field advantage.
Right,
it's going to be
3 degrees
in Kansas City when whoever comes to play out there and the elements. And they're going to win because they're just the better team and they win the elements. And they're going to be in the host the championship game.
But they still got, look, as great as Josh Allen is, there's no disputing. The greatness, as much as I hate the Bills, there's no disputing the greatness of Josh Allen.
No doubt.
He's the most dynamic quarterback in the game today.
Right.
But with that said, you know, you still got, you know, number 15 there. And you cannot, he'll find a way to win the game when all is said and done.
That's exactly what he does.
Yep. I agree with that. Joe, we appreciate it. Good talking to you, man.
All right, guys. Take care. Be well. All
see you,
love.
Joe.
The great Joe Beningo. A little football, but a reaction to the shocking events of late last night. Juan Soto is a New York Met. We continue to get your reaction from the Yankee perspective and the Met perspective at 888-808-1019. And the happiest guy and the happiest organization that Juan Soto signed last night, I think, is John Mara and the New York Giants, because a plane flew over MetLife Stadium yesterday with a message. We explore said message and its potential impact on what the Giants do next. I'm in a very festive mood today, so I took some of the extra holiday decorations we have at Casa de Roberts, and I brought it in. And I figured, let's decorate the studio with some stuff. So I brought in, what do they call the green stuff that's usually
garland?
Garland.
Garland?
Yes.
Okay.
So John.
Like John, thank you. Former pitcher for the White Sox. Look at you. So I brought in some garland, and I also brought in some fake snow.
It looks nice.
You like the fake snow?
Yes, tis the season.
Tis the season. So I went fake snow, and I went garland to kind of decorate the studio.
Wow. And I love all the bobbleheads everywhere.
The bobbleheads are in a snowstorm.
Right. Abe Lincoln looks like he's on a cloud.
It also looks nothing like snow. It looks like a cloud. It looks like your dog ripped apart a toy.
Really? Yes. It doesn't look like snow?
Not at all.
I mean, I bought snow on Amazon. I even wrote fake snow.
But, Evan, the way you've displayed it, and you can see it on SNY here, when snow is on the ground, it's on the ground. You have it, like, up in the air.
You know what?
Like
I'm looking at us on SNY right now, and you're
it's
right.
Kind of floating.
The snow looks like clouds.
Yes.
That's a bad job out of me. All right, I will do a better job during our next commercial break of flattening said snow.
Willie Mays is in the best spot.
Yeah, he's
Most
on.
People can't see him, though, right?
He's
now.
On a WFAN helmet.
Right. He's hiding in the front of the helmet.
Yes. So, do you want me to bring more holiday stuff in?
I think SNY should.
SNY should?
Why not? Come jazz up the set.
You're going to pay for it, or are you going to ask them to pay for it? Is that how this works now? Well, you're going to demand them to buy Christmas stuff?
Big theme of the show today, Hal Steiner, ain't my money.
Yeah, go do it. You know how I, watch this, you know how I can guilt SNY into doing it? And this was all a coincidence, because I literally brought it in today because I knew I didn't have room for this at Casa de Robert, so let me bring it in here. CBS Sports Network is decorating Boomer and Geo Studio.
Right. They do it every year.
And I felt like such a schlub, right? Because they've got boxes of stuff they're bringing in there. And then I'm walking in with my garland and fake snow. And CBS is looking over like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But that's very typical of me.
But you know what? It's us.
Yeah. We don't need to be special.
Right. It's homey. It feels like it's ours.
Are you okay with me?
Of the heart.
Are you okay with me buying a train set?
An actual train set?
Yeah, I'm thinking of buying a train
set.
Is
it going to work? And can we put a little bridge over the little thing right there?
Yeah, I'll
build a little gap.
If you want the bridge.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we can name the bridge the Lugauer.
I got it. It took me a second.
I like that. All right, real quick before we get back to your calls, obviously Yankee fans reacting, Met fans reacting to the news that came out even less than 24 hours ago of Juan Soto signing with the Mets yesterday before the Giants game in honor of, like, I don't know, 1978. Mm-hmm. Somebody bought a plane, or at least rented a plane, and had a message over MetLife Stadium. I'd like to read the message to you so you understand what it said if you didn't see the image yet. Mr. Mara, enough. Please fix this dumpster fire. Mm. Okay? Mr. Mara, enough. And the please was PLZ. So it was please with only three letters.
Yes.
Fix this dumpster fire. There's a few things I want to address. Number one, how about that person being respectful and going the Mr. Mara card?
Nice.
You kind of have to admire that
a
little bit.
Is this Sean?
Was it you, Sean?
I ain't buying no plane.
Was it Malik Nabers who said, I didn't buy that plane?
All right, and everybody thought that he did because he said it like that.
Imagine if Malik Nabers was
Malik Nabers would never, ever think of doing that.
Well, and if Malik Nabers did it, the message wouldn't be Mr. Mara, enough, fix this dumpster fire. It would have been throw leak the ball.
Right.
That's what the sign would have been. But I'm enamored by the idea around this. First of all, if you are the person who orchestrated this, I'd like to hear from you. Mm. And there's no, I don't think you did a bad thing, honestly, because I think you sent a message to ownership. And Tiki, you tell me if I'm wrong. I think this was a respectful message.
Oh, it wasn't a respectful message.
You didn't say sell the team.
Well, it came on a particularly, I don't know, rough day. Not because the Giants lost, but when you looked at the secondary market to get tickets, it went down to a dollar.
Yeah.
Right before our game started, it was $7.
Mm.
And then because we were looking at the same thing at Nissan Stadium.
Right.
It was like, all right, $12 to get into this game here in Nashville, Tennessee. So we looked at the Giants. It was a dollar.
Amazing.
Kickoff,
yeah.
Which is insane.
I wonder, and you tell me, the New York Giants as an organization are deciding now in the best interest of business that they're better off losing games. I think we could all agree with that. If we don't want to use the word tank, they're making business decisions.
There's no way that Mr. Mara would say that, and there's no way that Dabes is saying that.
Nobody would ever say that. But do you agree that that is taking place right now?
I don't. It feels like it is, mm-hmm. but I can't say that it's intentional.
Well, I don't think the players would ever do anything intentional, but I think that who didn't play.
There's a lot of them that didn't play.
Yeah, I think they're clearly making a business decision.
Right, but now, with that being said, some of the guys that they brought in, particularly on the defensive side, actually played their asses
off. They absolutely did. They had a chance to tie the game, as we all know.
Right.
But here's what I am curious about in concerning Mr. Mara. John Mara saw that message. In fact, he was asked after the game, and he went no comment, which I think is probably the right route to go.
Right.
What are you going to say? John Mara saw that plane flying overhead. John Mara saw that the secondary prices were a dollar. John Mara heard MetLife Stadium. I don't know if you guys heard this, but when that field goal was blocked, do you have the audio of this? I think this is amazing. Mm. When the field goal was blocked, MetLife Stadium erupted in cheers. Take a listen if you missed it.
35-yard field goal for Graham Gano for the tie. Kreider the snap. Given the hold. The kick, no good!
Now, to me, and
now,
I got
you think
this...
that was Saint fans?
No, I think that was Giant
that was
fans.
Giant fans.
I have a couple sets of people that were at this game, and while they said they weren't actively rooting for the Saints, by the time the game was nearing the end and they knew the Jaguars had lost... That was
no,
just
the, no. The Jaguars had won.
The Jaguars had won. Their natural reaction was, "This is awesome. We're higher up for the pick."
Yeah,
right. But there's still four games left.
They had a moment. You know, the fans there had a moment.
All I know, and I'm not at the game, and we're judging this audio, and maybe it's tough to hear on your car radios. It sounded like people were cheering. Mm. Combine that with Giant fans being at the building and saying, "Yeah, I think they were cheering." And here's my point. Between that message going over MetLife Stadium, between the secondary market, between the ballpark, or I should say stadium being empty, my pendulum on John Mara firing everybody moved yesterday. Hmm. I really do. I think it went from 70-30 they're staying to, right. I think this is a 50-50 proposition. I don't think John Mara, or in this case Mr. Mara, wants to be embarrassed. And I think that that message flying over MetLife Stadium was embarrassing. I really do. And I think that when he sees that displeasure from Giant fans, what are you going to do about it? And fair or not,
yeah.
I think there's a greater chance today Daboll and Shane are gone than there was yesterday.
Well, it gets harder to evaluate them doing a good job, or at least even arguing that they're doing a good job, when you see the roster that was out there, that's Shane, after the injuries and whatever you want to say, after some of the regressions, or not even regressions, let's call it just the same old nonsense. Penalties. Think how many points were taken off the board in this game.
Yep.
The Saints are not a good team, right? Especially after Derek Carr got hurt, and I forget who the kid's name that was in there. They're not a good team. And so the Giants had missed 13 points. They're the lowest scoring team in the NFL by a lot. And 13 points got taken off the board because of stupid penalties. And so, like, those are discipline things. Those are awareness things. Those are doing the right things in moment things. Now, some of these are just young players that just haven't gotten an opportunity to play. But I remember saying this about, we brought up Dan Campbell last week with the Lions and like how quickly they got it turned around. I remember those first couple of years, they had players on defense that had no business being in the game. None. Next year, they're actually out of the league. They were playing their asses off. You could tell how well coached they were. And so, at some point, you start saying, where are we going with this team? Like, where is this culture that was established a couple of years ago in 22 when they won got into the postseason and won a playoff game? Where is that? Because it doesn't look like it's there anymore.
No, I agree.
And that's not a good sign.
Do you think that the emotion of seeing your empty stadium, hearing that crowd reaction, and dare I say, seeing that sign, you think that moves the owner to change his mind on his plans?
I think it would have to happen a lot.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe it will. I don't know. There may be more planes planned. I have no idea.
And two foods for thought more on this. The Giants are right now 14.5-point underdogs. It is the largest home underdog they have been since 1966.
Oh, my God.
So that is going to be a big storyline this week.
Thank you so much for saying that, because one of my plans for this evening was to go on Pro Football Reference and go through every season and see the last time they were this big of a dog. So the fact you're just giving me the cheat sheet right now, you saved me a lot of work. Thank you.
1966. And, Loogie, do you want to give this painful injury to that the Giants have?
Yeah.
Haven't been that big of an underdog since 1966. At home since 1966?
More than two touchdowns, yes.
Wow. Tiki, that's a big one.
So think about that.
I think that
good chance the Ravens cover, by the way.
All of these things that we're hearing, and this is what changes things. And I said this to you. It's going to take a special kind of badness for Daboll and Shane to lose their job. I think the special kind of badness is happening.
Right. Even when you look at Jacksonville, like Jacksonville was the same. They were in the same spot. Doug Peterson, third year.
Yeah.
9-8, then 9-8. Now they're waffling. They won a game.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't pretty. They found a way to win a game.
I think they have to win a game. I think where I'm at right now.
I think you're right.
I think if they don't win another game and they finish this season 2-15, I think John Mara and ownership's going to clean house.
I think Daboll knows he's safe. He couldn't wait to announce Drew Lock as the starter. If everything you're saying is true and Giant fans are going to be pissed off for the next couple home games, then why do you immediately go, we're going with Drew Lock?
Well, I'll tell you, the Drew Lock Tommy DeVito thing is something that does not make sense. We'll get into it as the days go on, but I am kind of... My brain is shattered off that. But real quick, you guys said there's another painful injury. Quick.
Yeah, I've never heard of this injury. Trey Hawkins suffered a fractured lumbar spine yesterday.
What?
Mm.
Yes, he has been declared with a fractured lumbar spine ending his season. That sounds like the most painful injury you could
fractured
have.
Fractured lumbar spine.
I think I got that when I fell off my bike, by the way. Huh.
Really?
I think I had a fracture of the L3. Is that the same thing?
Oh, maybe.
That's maybe. What I had, so I don't know.
I mean, I fractured a little bone in my back, and it was one of the most, it's probably the most painful injury I've ever had.
Those
little, you know, on the spine, those little things that come off on the side?
Yeah.
They're called transverse processes. I cracked one just a little bit. Didn't really do anything, like, functionally. It hurt worse than anything I've ever had in my life.
It's the worst. And that's why the idea of tanking, like, yes, right. I think that the Giants are making business decisions. A guy like Trey Hawkins ain't making a business decision.
No, because he hadn't played all year.
Right. He's out there playing his ass off, and look what happened to him. He's got a whatever, a something with his lumbar.
Right.
Anyhow, more on the Giants as the days go on, and I agree with Tommy. The Locke DeVito thing is fascinating, and we will certainly go deeper into that over the next few days. But the story of the day is Juan Soto. Met fans, Yankee fans, how we feeling? Let's go to Rich in Manalapan. How are you, Rich?
Hey, guys. I have actually a holiday song about Juan Soto. I have the Met-centric version, or I have the Yankee-hater version. Which one would you like?
Do the Met-centric version.
Yeah, let's hear that first.
Okay. Happy Soto Day. Happy Soto Day. May the home run apple keep rising because the Mets have won Soto.
Very nice. All right, let's hear the Yankee haterific version now. I'm excited.
I like
that. Okay. All right. Happy Soto Day. Happy Soto Day. While the Yankee fans keep whining, the Mets fans have one Soto.
I must admit, the second one wasn't very good.
No.
I like the fact that
just goes to show you, it is harder to hate on the Yankees and just be happy for yourself. So just be happy for yourself. Stop the hate.
Yeah. Did you believe Sean Beningo when he was on earlier and said he does not even think about the Yankees and that this is all about the Mets getting him?
No, because when I close my eyes and think of Joe, I picture him doing the Victor Cruz salsa in a parking lot, and I don't take him at his word at all for anything like that.
And with all due respect to Joe, he lived in a world where the Mets won a World Series with a top team in this town. For people our age, Evan, we're 40. We've lived in a Yankee world.
Yeah.
So we come at it from a different perspective than Joe is, with all due respect to Joe. So we see it differently.
Fair enough.
Still not healthy.
Yeah, no. Let's go to Steve on Long Island. How are you, Steve?
Hey, very good, guys. How you doing?
We're good. What's up, dude?
Okay. Well, thanks for taking the call. The reason I'm calling is because, look, I'm a Yankee fan. I would like to have seen him on the Yankees, obviously. But whether it's the Yankees, Mets, or anywhere else, I'd like to discuss for a moment the absurdity of the money, which nobody really speaks about. And my problem with this, as my kids are no longer children anymore, but when they were about the year 2020, and I went to the World Series. I remember I had 4 tickets to the World Series for a little under $700. Now I'm sure with the money the way it is, I couldn't even afford to take my kids to the, because I'm just a blue collar worker.
Yeah,
like,
but Steve, I understand the prices on tickets, but here's where your logic is flawed. Whether the Mets or Yankees signed Soto to that money, the prices were the same. It is not affected by it.
Right. Which they were exorbitant last year.
Yeah. The prices are affected by the fact that the Yankees, Mets, and MLB knows they can get away with it.
Right.
So I don't think it's fair to put that on Juan Soto, because as Tiki pointed out earlier, if Soto's not getting the money because, 52 is absurd, 51 is absurd, well, then the money just stays in the coffers of billionaires.
Right.
Does that really make you feel better?
No.
What the hell's the difference?
And doesn't Major League Baseball manage the tickets of the World Series?
I don't know how.
I know there's a percentage that obviously goes back, but I feel like
the prices, you mean.
Yeah, like everything starts getting pushed through Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I think the postseason prices are set by Major League Baseball,
yeah.
And it wouldn't be any different. Like, Met prices were crazy before right. They got Juan Soto. So I know that as a blue-collar guy, you hear $51 million and it's like, oh, my God. I get right. That. The money's crazy, but the money's crazy because the business is so good.
Yeah.
And if Juan wasn't getting the money, someone else
would.
Right.
And this isn't money that's, I mean, yes, is a percentage of it coming from ticket sales? Absolutely. But I think a larger part is just coming from the operating income of being a Major League Baseball team with the TV contracts and sponsor, endorser,
yeah.
Whatever it may be. There's a ton of it that goes into what makes MLB owners rich.
I don't.
Their franchise is so valuable.
I don't know if you remember this conversation, but I'll bring it back to August. So in August, I got a letter. That letter was from the New York Mets.
Yes.
they were raising my season ticket prices. And I said on the radio, like, you were expecting me up. Evan's about to kill the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
They're no guarantee to be a playoff team at that moment. Who knew? And I said, Steve, I'll let you know how I feel at a later date. I'll let you know how I feel based on what happens in the offseason.
I remember this.
And I even got a text from someone in the Mets organization who said, wow, Evan, a very tempered response. And I said, yeah, if you fail me in the offseason, I'm going to crush you. But if you don't, I'll gladly give you my money if you make it worth it.
Wasn't it a marginal increase?
It was a marginal increase, but they've done it a few years in a row.
Right, got it.
So I'd like to make an announcement. I'd like to inform the New York Mets and all my fellow Met fans that while I'd like to have more money in my bank, I'm totally fine with you raising my prices.
How many more season tickets do you think they sold?
I think that process is beginning today.
Of course it is.
So I don't think we have an answer yet.
I think the ticket office is probably celebrating. What was it we saw when somebody got drafted and the ticket office was celebrating? Who was that?
Yeah, what was? I'm trying to remember. San Antonio Spurs with Victor Wembanyama.
Was it Wembanyama?
Maybe it wasn't.
I feel like it was longer ago than that.
Zion Williamson with the Pelicans, maybe?
Maybe. Yes, it definitely was.
That was it.
It was New Orleans. It was in the New Orleans Pelicans. And they just freaked out.
Yeah, because they knew how business would change.
Yes.
And coincidentally, and it's all a coincidence, today, of all days, at 10 a.m., mm-hmm. Mets single game tickets went on sale. No, it's great for business.
By the way, Tommy, you're right. There is no such thing as coincidence.
No, definitely not.
He signed last night for that very reason.
Yes. Course. The Mets knew this would be the perfect announcement.
Can we get that email? Somebody has to have that.
I haven't.
Does it mention Juan Soto?
No, it does not. The Mets have not mentioned Juan Soto because, in fact, here's the email. I got it at 10:07 this morning.
Yeah.
2025 single game tickets are on sale now, and it's a picture of...
What time was it?
It was at 10:12, right after they went on sale.
Right. It doesn't even matter. You don't even need to mention them because you know.
I have a picture of three guys on the email. Francisco Lindor, Mark Vientos, and Brandon Nimmo, which shows you they don't know about Pete.
Yeah.
And they're not putting Soto up yet. The one thing I did find weird, my dad sent this to me, is that the Mets are selling Juan Soto jerseys on presale with the number 00. Now, I assume once it's official and Juan works out the transaction with Brett Beatty and he gets 22... Mm-hmm. Then they'll sell the 22.
Right.
But the Mets haven't made this move official yet. This is not an official move. I think it'll happen at some point in the next few days at the winter meetings. But, boy, those jersey sales.
Well, he's still got to pass a physical and all these other things.
Yeah, you got to
imagine he Anthony Barred this thing.
Say it one more time.
How Anthony Barred.
Oh, when he changed his mind about joining the Jets.
How major a story would that become?
Right.
If he was like, you know what, I never penned a paper.
Sean,
how could I do this?
Sean, you're making me feel bad for you.
By the way, that...
No, I don't believe that'll happen. I'm just laughing at
the idea. By the way, that screwed up his career.
Oh, yeah.
Anthony Barr never was the same player.
I remember that pissed me off because we were all excited the Jets had acquired Anthony Barr. They signed him in free agency.
You were lucky you didn't get him.
Yeah, no, sometimes it works out well. Right. Didn't DeAndre Jordan do that in the NBA as well? Like, he was signing with...
He was, like, locked in a house with a bunch of them.
Yeah, and then he just...
But basketball's different. It's like... These guys are so finicky and weird.
So you're telling me Juan Soto, who celebrated his Met contract with a beer being poured on his head in a pool and FaceTiming with Donovan Mitchell, is not going to change his mind?
I wonder if that was his house. Because I'd be like, bro, you're dumping beer in my hot tub? Like, what the... What's wrong with you, man?
He's got $762 million.
Of course he does, but still. You're dumping beer in my hot tub?
I love the fact that Donovan Mitchell was FaceTiming with Juan Soto. Donovan Mitchell continues to be the athlete that New York needed. We needed him on the Knicks or Nets because he's such a Met fan.
Yeah.
He's FaceTiming Soto right after the announcement becomes official, for all we know. And maybe Juan will make this announcement at the press conference. Donovan Mitchell may have sealed the deal. It's possible Donovan Mitchell was on the phone saying, listen, Juan, let me tell you why you got to be a Met. And like, he read him some kind of inspirational speech. I mean, the star of the Cleveland Cavaliers may be the reason we as Met fans got Juan Soto. Just keep that in mind when he's knocking you out in the second round of the playoffs.
Oh, you didn't have to add that at the end. Spider is one of the best ambassadors for the Mets out there, but you didn't have to add
that. I just said,
well, you had him out in the first round. Don't think I forgot about
that.
On Friday, you said, let me repeat this for the audience that missed it. Evan said the Knicks are losing in the first round. Now you got him in the second round.
Hey, Tommy, very proud of you. I'm just going to leave it at that. Actually, I'm not going to leave it at that. I'll explain why I'm proud of him. Last week, Tommy Lugauer was placed on trial here at WFAN by one Sean Morash, where Tommy would only tweet after Nick wins and not tweet after Nick losses. Obviously, Saturday was an embarrassing loss. I think we all know that. The homecoming game against the Pistons. How you lose that game is beyond me.
Lay it on a little thicker.
Well, I'm just saying it was. And Tommy went to social media, and he owned it. Now, he also put over homecoming day, which is not really homecoming day when Charles Oakley is not in the building.
Evan.
Well, actually, Tommy.
I love Oak. You know the deal. So, you know the deal. A-Rod's got a better shot of his number being retired, I would think, than Oak coming back to the Garden at this point.
I
understand that. Based on the parameters, I thought they did a tremendous job at homecoming. I would love a lot of teams to do that. Obviously, like an old-timers day. And they always bring back a lot of legends with the Knicks, but I thought it was great.
Speaking of which, it's a great question. Old-timers day 30 years from now. Don't you guys have to bring Soto back? He led you to the World Series.
Sure.
You would bring him back.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And I'd go as far, by the way, should get a tribute video at the Subway Series.
I was just about to, you would go tribute video?
It's not his fault he left for more money. He led the Yankees to a World Series, hit a dramatic home run in the ALCS.
And you know what? If Aaron Hicks gets a tribute video, how does Juan Soto know? Absolutely.
Wait, what do you think that's going to be, how that's going to be received?
Mixed.
No, it will not be mixed.
Oh. There will be people. By the way, a lot of months change.
Oh, you know what? It will be mixed because Met fans will be there.
No, and I think he'll get booed out of foot like his first at bat. You get over it.
Oh, you're dead wrong, bro.
Listen, we're living in the moment too much.
Sean, I respect that you're being rational because I think in this case you are. I think he is going to be a massive heel enemy to Yankee fans.
Definitely.
Massive.
I'm going to that first game. I'm standing up, giving him a standing ovation.
You can't boo Hal Steinbrenner. He's not on the field. Well, wherever you're frustrated with, when you see Juan Soto, you're going to take out all your frustrations on him.
Did you hear what he just said?
That's an interesting
one. Did you hear what he just said?
I did. He's going to stand and cheer Juan Soto.
There's no way you're doing that.
Yes, there is. I've been consistent on this. I don't blame him.
Do you think he would do that, Tiki?
Would he do it, or would he be justified in doing it?
No, forget justified. Do you think Sean Morash will all be there?
He would.
You think so? Yeah,
absolutely.
He's going to stand and cheer him?
Dude, I cherish that year I got with him. I love it. It ain't his fault. He went for the highest back.
I wonder how alone or joined he is.
He's alone, bro. Nobody giving Juan Soto at Yankee Stadium a standing ovation for the 1 year he was here.
But you're not mad at Juan Soto.
Yeah.
You're more upset with Hal.
I think there's a lot of Yankee fans mad at Juan Soto.
There's a lot of months between now and when he returns, and a lot of moves the Yankees can make between now and when he returns, and when you're showing the highlights, and you see him hitting the home run and throwing up the... People will get warm in their feels, and you will get... I'm not telling you everybody, but you will get quite a few people like me that will stand up and give a standing ovation.
Can you do me a favor? I put a lot of polls out in the last 24 hours.
At Sean Morash on Twitter.
Well, you're a Yankee fan and say, hey, guys, will you give Soto a standing ovation upon his return?
He knows you're going to get dragged. You can't be stupid to put the poll out.
Okay. Yankees fans, will you be like me?
Yeah, there you go. So you're endorsing it. I appreciate that. And give him a standing ovation.
Embarrassing, by the way.
The video thing, though, here, I pause on the video thing because they gave one to Aaron Hicks.
And they gave one to Seve, too? He didn't pitch in the series.
No, he didn't pitch, right? Because remember, they got the...
Yeah.
He
made fun of him. Right. He was like, you guys got one hitter or whatever it was.
Yeah, I said two hitters. It's one hitter. Yeah, Teague. Yeah. It got changed.
They may do a Clay Holmes Soto, like, together. Not together, literally, but, like, on that night. So it's like, all right, here's one for Soto, here's one for Clay Holmes. Frankie Montas gets one. We got a lot of extra.
Do you think the Mets will be afraid to star Clay Holmes in the Bronx like they did with Luis Severino?
If that's the best you got with the trash talk, God bless you.
Yankee fans are going to be like, bring him on.
Yeah.
Will they be afraid to start Juan Soto in the Bronx like they did with Luis Severino?
Yeah, they will not be afraid, nor will Juan be afraid. Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 list coming up in a few minutes. And then right after that, this is going to be going on every day for the next 2 weeks, we unveil 24 in 24. We are counting down the 24 most memorable New York sports moments of this wonderful year that was 2024. We're going to kick it off right after the Cinco with number 24 and number 23.